¡Ale!
Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFB podcast. It's Tuesday, December 15. Where it is the microwave edition of the podcast. I'm Jorge Georgie Martin, flying solo, going into Los Waivers. But first off, let's talk about that game last night. The Ravens 47, Browns 42. Game of the year. I mean, I'm still buzzing from the end of that game. I mean, just the fourth quarter alone, 35 points scored. The Browns coming back from two TDs down at the beginning of the quarter and the lead changing hands three times. Just incredible, increíble, just maravilloso. Just what a game. Best game of the year. Reminded me a lot of the Chiefs-Rams on Monday Night Football in 2018. Still, I don't know what matches the drama. Late in the fourth quarter with the Ravens trailing by a point and driving, only to have backup quarterback Trace McSorley hurt his knee just inside the two-minute warning. The Ravens were staring at fourth down and Lamar Jackson seemingly in the locker room, but oh, no, espera, wait on. Look who's coming out of the runway almost at the exact instant that McSorley was being tended to on the field. It was Jackson himself, I mean, jogging onto the sideline for the Ravens, only to find out he was going into the game right away. One of the announcers called it the Paul Pierce moment. I prefer to call it the Kirk Gibson moment. It's the Dodger fan in me. But Jackson just immediately threw a pass that Marquise Brown turned into a 44-yard touchdown through his just sheer blazing speed. But then again, Baker Mayfield led a long drive that took just over a minute, culminating with a 22-yard touchdown pass to Kareem Hunt, who just willed the ball to the goal line. Unfortunately for Browns fans, that left too much time on the clock because Jackson just marched the Ravens 38 yards so that Justin Tucker could nail a 55-yard field goal with 2 seconds left. But to add on top of it, for Corazon Roto, for bettors who had the Browns plus 3.5, when on the ensuing kickoff, the Cleveland, they ended up laddering their way into a safety. So it ended up being a cover for the Ravens. Just so loco, so loco. Jackson looked like his old self, running for 124 yards and two scores while throwing for another score in 163 yards. This game tied a 98-year-old record with the teams combining to score 9 rushing touchdowns. So, this was just ground and pound, ground and pound. J.K. Dobbins led the backfield for the Ravens with 13 carries for 53 yards and a touchdown, while Gus Edwards, he continued to vulture a couple of touchdowns himself on 7 carries for 49 yards. There's no carries for Mark Ingram in this game, so this is really just clearly a two-headed backfield now from the rest of the way. Mayfield had one of his most productive games of the season with 343 yards and 2 touchdowns and 1 INT, while running an additional 5 times for 23 yards and a touch. Quick preview, he's going to be on the waiver wire column later on in this segment, so I'm going to keep the superlatives down to a minimum right now, but the Cleveland backfield duo of Chubb and Hunt, they were just simply fantastic. Chubb banged out 82 yards rushing and 2 TDs while adding another 21 yards receiving, while Hunt added a rushing score to his 110 total yards. It was just a great game. I saw an interesting post-game shot where Baker Mayfield, Mark Andrews, and Hollywood Brown were talking together, and it reminded me of a conversation that I have with a couple of Dodger League mates, that H.J. Adams and Greg Morrison, who mentioned to me that, there was quite some talent in Oklahoma there toward the end of Baker Mayfield's run, that you had Mayfield, you had Hollywood Brown, you had Andrews, they were all on the same team, and also Joe Mixon. So, look at that NFL talent that it's on one team. How the heck did they not win a national championship? So, shout out to my buen amigos, Greg and HJ. So, I got this note in. So, let's get into some chisme, and we're going to start off with kind of the novella that's happening over in Carolina with Christian McCaffrey. He's had the thigh injury. Coach Matt Rhule says he plans for McCaffrey to play again. Is it a question of, does he play this week? Does he play next week? Does he play week 17, when it helps no one from a fantasy perspective? So we're going to keep an eye on this, but right now, just him saying it at some point probably means that he's not playing this week. Looking at Matthew Stafford, he's unlikely to play this week. You know, he had the shoulder injury at the end of the game last time, so it's shoulder and ribs, so you just don't know what's going to happen with him. I mean, he's a guy who'd tough it out, but the fact that they're talking about that he's unlikely to play, get ready to see Chase Daniel, and honestly, I think it drops the value of every offensive player, every skilled player for the Lions other than DeAndre Swift. James Conner injured his quad during the most recent game, and that to me explains a little bit about him, why he looks so sluggish in the game. So we'll be talking about Benny Snell pretty soon. Ronald Jones had a surgical operation on his broken pinky finger, so maybe the pinky's not as important to carrying the ball, but be ready that it might keep him out of a game. Chris Godwin had a similar procedure done earlier in the season, and he missed one game, so vamos a ver. Not looking good for Debo Samuel, familia. Coach Kyle Shanahan mentioned that he's going to be out a while. So I would think that a while means at least the 2 weeks. It's the hamstring, so those can be very, very tricky on players. Also, Raheem Mostert, he went for an MRI on Monday. So vamos a ver, it's the fact that he's having an MRI, that just doesn't sound good. Over in Miami, Devontae Parker has a slight hamstring strain, and just not sure if he's going to be playing this week against the Patriots. I mean, anytime I hear a hamstring strain, I'm thinking he's going to be out at least that week. So we'll have an option for you for making other plans. Over in Washington, Alex Smith, possibly some good news. It was a calf on his surgically repaired right leg, so he came out of the game last week, so there was some possibility he's going to miss some practice time, but that no sabemos. It's something to be keeping an eye on, because it really brings down the value of any Washington players if Alex Smith is out and it's Dwayne Haskins instead of him. All right, let's get into los waivers. Jalen Hurts is the number one waiver claim for in the quarterback side, and I mean, we just saw it last week. He had 106 yards rushing on 18 attempts. I mean, it looked like a kind of an alternate version of Lamar Jackson. Maybe not quite as fast, but definitely just such a skilled runner. The passing, it was kind of pedestrian at 167 yards. But one of the things that looks really good for him is Arizona is number six in rushing yards allowed to the quarterback since week 10. So, and then he's got a date with Dallas in week 16. So he might be a league winner for you. You just never know. All right, familia, don't hate on me for making this suggestion, but I've made it before and it's paid off. Philip Rivers, he's playing Houston this week. He's got at least two touchdowns in each of the last four games, and the Texans are number three in passing yards allowed per game since week 11. So, I mean, Houston, you could throw on them. Philip Rivers, it's a home game. You could do a lot worse than firing him up as a streaming option. Talked a little bit ago about Baker Mayfield. He's got the Giants this week, and they're the top team against in passing yards allowed against the quarterback, but you got the Jets in week 16, so you may be getting Mayfield a week early to play him 2 weeks from now. But again, he's got back-to-back 300 yard games for the first time this season, and the interception that he threw yesterday was his first one since week 7. So something to keep an eye on. Possibly good possibility with the Jets coming up in the schedule in week 16. Running backs, it's kind of a little bit of a wasteland, but Gus Edwards, we talked about him. He had 7 carries for 49 yards and 2 touchdowns. He's got the Jaguars this week. So even if he's got to share carries with J.K. Dobbins, you've still got the Jags allowing 668 rushing yards, which is the most over the last 4 weeks in the NFL. So you know what? Gus Edwards could be a little bit of a desperation play as a second RB in your lineup. Benny Snell, we talked about him a little bit ago. The Bengals are number 13 in most rushing yards allowed in the last 4 weeks. And again, if he's the only guy, so keep an eye on the fact. I mean, maybe you grab him if you've got James Conner. If you need to play James Conner, I hope you don't have to. I have to play James Conner in one of my leagues, but it's either him or Peyton Barber. So I'll be making that decision later in the week. But again, Benny Snell is a possibility if he could get the majority of the carries. carries against that Bengal offense. Over in the wide receivers, Kiki QT at Indianapolis this week. I mean, I know that the Colts have been good, but, you know, just 2 weeks ago, QT went for 144 yards on 8 receptions against the same Colts. And the Colts are number 22 in fantasy points per game allowed in the last 4 weeks. So they've been a little bit more vulnerable. Over in Vegas, Nelson Aguilar playing the Chargers this week. He's got 35 targets in the last 4 games, and the Chargers are number 18 in fantasy points per game allowed to the wide receivers in the last 4 weeks. So, again, Derek Carr is looking for him. He's got 2 touchdowns in those last 4 games, so he's a possibility for you. Rashard Higgins is a play for you. After the last 2 weeks, he's got 19 targets and 1 touchdown in each of the games. Again, as we talked about with Baker Mayfield, the Giants are number 1 against receivers in fantasy points per game allowed in the last 4 weeks, but the Jets are on the docket for week 16, so they're number 30 against wide receivers, so you may be getting him a week early, but you know what? That could be good. That could pay off for you. Over in Miami, it's just been a mash unit with the wide receivers, with Parker out and Mike Kosicki's also possibly going to be missing some time. So someone's going to be needing to catch some passes. And Lynn Bowden Jr., he caught 7 passes for 82 yards, led the Miami Dolphins in targets on the week. So he's got the Pats, who have been fairly good. They're number 11 in fantasy points per game allowed to wide receivers in the last 4 weeks. But again, you know, one of the things to keep in mind, weird things seem to happen when the Patriots visit Miami at the end of the season. Remember that crazy Kenyon Drake lateral return for a walk-off touchdown against the Patriots? These weird things happen. So hey, could be weird things than having a guy who's owned in 3% of leagues, Yahoo leagues, having a big game in December against the Patriots. Over in the tight ends, we got Irv Smith playing Chicago this week, and Kyle Rudolph has been sidelined, and Smith went for 4 catches for 63 yards and a touchdown against Tampa Bay last week. The Bears are number 28 against tight ends the last 4 weeks, so Irv Smith could be a streaming option for you this week. And lastly, we got a two-headed tight end monster in L.A. with the Rams, with Tyler Higbee and Gerald Everett. They're taking on the Jets, who are dead last in fantasy points per game allowed to the tight end in the last 4 weeks. So they've just been giving up yards to the tight ends. Higbee's owned in 48% of leagues. Gerald Everett has been owned in 4%. I mean, they've been very similar on number of pass routes and targets. So if either or both, you know what? They could be a good coin flip for you to play this week to keep you alive in the fantasy playoffs. I mean, the tight end position is such a wasteland, especially if you're going to be missing Mike Gesicki this week. You need him. I mean, granted, if you're in the playoffs, you probably have Travis Kelce or Darren Waller or TJ Hawkinson, but if you don't have one of those guys and you're in the playoffs, these are a possibility, because the Rams are going to be throwing this week against that Jet defense. Well, everybody, this was Todo for our microwave edition of the show. Thanks again to Anchor for being our hosting network and making sure our independent podcast gets out into you, the Familia community. Please make sure you subscribe, and por favor, leave us a review. You can find us at Spotify, Apple, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Remember, follow us on Twitter at FamiliaFFB. You can find me at JorgeMartin17. Original content at FamiliaFFB.com. You're going to see the waiver column coming up, as well as our Familia FFB Facebook page. Give us a like, por favor. Again, gracias, everybody. And remember, todos somos familia.